Mark chapter 16, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." I titled this, "At the Rising of the Sun." You know, we came out this morning. Of course, this is the one day of the year that we come this time of the morning, got up early and try to get down here right after sunrise, about the time we get down here. And, you know, we come and we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Mainly because we know what the rest of the story is. We know what happened after this. But you know what I do when I read the Bible, and I want us to try to do that today. I was sitting there thinking last night, in the living room, I was thinking about how the disciples probably felt on that Saturday night before the resurrection day. And so I try to think about the things, how they would view them without knowing the rest of the story pretty much along there. So I want us to do that this morning. I want us to put ourselves in the disciples, the followers of Jesus in that time, that day, and whoever I read about in the Bible, I put my mind in. If I'm the Roman soldier at the cross, you know, anybody that was connected with that, try to think, like, what were they thinking about at that particular time? And, you know, we think about, with us today, of course, this is probably the greatest day celebration-wise in Christianity, even greater than Christmas, because the birth is one thing, but he had to die and suffer and die and resurrect means something else to us as well. Of course, we had to have a birth before we could have that. But so we've got joy, we've got hope, confidence, assurance. I mean, this is a great day. But we think about those disciples in that day, and I was kind of adding to and thinking about it this morning. You know, Jesus was crucified on Friday, and before the Sabbath day came, before the Sabbath would start, they had gone. They realized Jesus had given up the ghost. He had died, and some of his followers went and asked for the body. They wanted to take the body off the cross because, you know, in Jewish custom, you couldn't do anything on the Sabbath day. It was a day of rest, and so only certain things you could do, and it wasn't much. And they knew the body would have to stay on the cross if they didn't get him before Sabbath started. And so they went, and Pilate was even amazed that the body he had died so soon. I mean, a person could linger for days on the cross. It could take you several days to die. And, of course, we knew that Jesus gave his own spirit up. But so they begged the body. And so they, from Friday night on through all Friday night, all day Saturday, all Saturday night, in the disciples' mind, the people that loved Jesus, they thought that Jesus was dead. I mean, this was their thought, that he had died. And all the things that go around, most of us here have experienced somebody, a loved one, passing away, and you know how your mind goes, what if, and what about, and what are we going to do now, and all the things. And we think about, you know, all that time they had to sit from Friday all the way through to Saturday, all Saturday night before this morning here, that what they would think about. You know, there was a lot of expectations. I mean, Jesus, of course, we know Jesus wasn't the average human being in his humanity. He was a human, but he was God in the flesh. And so they had expectations. They thought, well, this is the Messiah, even though their concept of who the Messiah was and what he was going to do wasn't exactly right. They thought about political salvation or deliverance from political things, not their sin. And so they, you know, but so all the things they thought, and think about this. Here was Jesus that could, he could cause the blind to see and to heal the lame, resurrect somebody from the dead. All the things that Jesus had done and could do, and now he's dead. And their minds was killed by the Romans. And so their mind is wrapped around that, thinking, you know, how could this be? How could we be so wrong about all the evidence and all the things that we saw. How could we be so, how could this have happened? I mean, you can just imagine, how could this have happened? So there's confusion as to what, you know, because sometimes when you're so set on what you believe and you're so convinced and then it turns out otherwise, you don't understand it. So there's every emotion that you can think about, the confusion, the why, the what, disappointment, discouragement, starting to doubt. You're doubting what you believed. That had to be a big emotion, doubt about things. And so physically and spiritually, they were as drained as you could get. I mean, they were as low as they could get. There was nothing positive that they could see, that nothing they talked about. And so in the midst of all that, and we read our text this morning, there's one thing that we see that didn't diminish at all. If anything, it increased, and that was love. It said that early in the morning, first day of the week, that'd be Sunday, the way they looked at things and the way we should probably look at them too. Their love had not diminished one little bit. And despite of all the confusion and discouragement, the sorrow, the heartbreak, everything that you can think of, you know, it says that they rose when the Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. The Bible says love bears all things. Love hopes all things. And love never fails. And so love for them had not diminished, and they wanted to get to the body. I broke it down a little bit of an outline just to help me along. And the first thing I was thinking about was their persons, the disciples, these women and others. So we know later that James and Peter and John had run to the tomb, and later on Jesus appeared to all the disciples and Emmaus Road disciples as well. You know, what kind of people were they? You know, sometimes we read the Bible and we think, boy, these people were like so different than we were. But they really weren't different than us at all. They were common folk. You know, we see in our text just reading about these women, we know one was a mother. We know that there was a wife, so she was a wife. And, you know, and so they were working people, average people. They did average things. They weren't super saints. They weren't super, they didn't have a lot of positions of importance in the land probably as well. And they had the same kind of problems like we have today. When we think about our issues, you know, some of them might have had some kind of a physical problem with them. Their ear might have been bleeding. They might have had a sick family member at home. It might have been somebody, a loved one that had sick. You know, when we have prayer requests, we bring up our loved ones, you know, that are sick. Rena, your mom's health's not good. And I mean, I'll probably name off others that, you know, it's on your mind. And in the midst of all those things, they probably, there was two classes of society in those days, the wealthy and the poor. It wasn't a middle class like we have today. And so I'm sure financial concerns about how we're going to pay for this and that and other things. I'm sure like just like today, maybe the marriages weren't the best. I mean, they have marriage problems in their lives. If they have kids, children problems, just raising children up. You know, maybe neighbor issues. Who knows what kind of things were going on? And then the political climate. There was a political problem, not unlike today. We see what's going on in the world politically, socially. Social problems. Man, listen, there was slavery in those days. The Jewish people as a whole were really a kind of a slave nation in a sense that they were under another nation's rule. I mean, they weren't chained up and those type things. And so, you know, the day-to-day life problems. Think about this. Listen, they made their own clothing. They grew their own food. They prepared their own food. There wasn't microwaves and canned this and that and all those things. So you had all those day-to-day things that you had to do. Just living daily was a chore. And And you know, and so like we are today, different kinds of irons in the fire, but there was a lot of irons in the fire for those people as well. And wondering how they're going to get, you know, everything done. Not to mention internal problems. Not to mention the flesh, the world, the devil, the same kind of things that we struggle with in life. You know, just our own selves, temptations, trials, failures, dealing with our past of some kind. Yet the Bible says very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Something suddenly took a priority over all the other issues of life. All the other issues of life. And so that's the second thing I want to talk about. The priority. First day of the week, very early. First thing on the first day, because it was the major thing that was on their mind. All that the things that may have been going on in their life, they had a bigger priority. And you know, if you could just get people to see, I've talked to people all the time about, you know, I'll try to invite them to church. I want to talk to them about the Lord. I try to talk to them about the Lord. Just skip the church part first. Just listen, your relationship with God. And they'll usually say, well, you know, I know I need to get to church. I asked somebody yesterday, I said, look, man, this is what, you know, you ought to come to church. I've been thinking about that. This person always tells me the same thing. I know I ought to get that. But I met one guy I talked to just a few weeks back. He said, man, you know, y'all, man, I know I need to be in church, but man, everything, I'm just so busy. Man, I got this and I got that. We're just working all the time, working all the time. I know I've got to do it. Listen, if you could just get people to see that the biggest priority in our lives has ever been, the biggest priority in life is our salvation. I mean, our relationship with God. There's nothing more important. Your job's not more important than your soul, than eternal life. Listen, your family problems are not more important than, you know, your salvation problem if you're not saved. That's not a priority. Listen, your kids, nothing. And there's nothing you can fill in the blank with that's going to really take priority. When you're on your dying day and you're about ready to meet God, your relationship with Him is going to be the priority. What's the biggest crisis in life? What is the biggest crisis in life? It's our loss of our own life, our death. That's the biggest thing hanging over you as we get older every day. It's our own death. And if you could just get people to see that, and these people had it. There was not that they had this priority. They rose early. They were going to the grave. I mean, they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. They didn't know what the day held. I was thinking, man, just think how if we didn't know the rest of the story, how emotionally draining and how they thought. Little did they know that things were going to change just like that. I mean, when they, and I thought about that, you know, and I'm going to use some of this for Sunday morning, so it may overlap, but that'll be okay. Their priority was motivated by love. They didn't expect to find a live body. It was just a dead body of Jesus, but they still loved Him. Death doesn't do anything to love. Amen. Any of us that have lost, I've lost both my parents. I love them as much or more today than probably more. Because now I realize what the impact they had on my life in a positive way was. It doesn't affect it. And so it was motivated by love, which resulted in a devotion that death couldn't diminish. And so they rose early in the morning, rising up very early. You know, there's a lot of reasons why we get up early sometimes. Different things. Sometimes if you're going to something and you want to get a good spot. Remember the trout fishing business? I think they had the Heritage Day, I think, last week. But y'all remember when they didn't have it and it was the opening day of trout season. And didn't it used to open up like later, like at 11 or 12 before you could start, and they moved it back down? But people would be down there at the hall with flashlights. They got them lights on their head, stumbling around down there in a slick rock creek trying to get down there so they could get to the and sit there for 6 hours. Waiting on. And Huh? And I remember doing that, and I jumped on the guy beside me, man. I mean, his clock was a lot faster than mine was. My thing hadn't hit 12 yet, man. He threw it in his head. Wait a minute, man. You know, huh? And sometimes it didn't matter, man. You get down there and spread out. I used to take the kids, man, spread them out. You get over there. Nobody wants to fish next to a kid. Get over there, man. Get in and spread them out. And it's still, by the time it got time at 12 o'clock, we can try to get down there for that, huh? Trout fishing, trying to get down there. Sherry and I went down to the campground down at Lake Robertson to talk to the guy before we were going to make the reservations. I thought the guy was pulling my leg. He said, there'll be people park at the gate at midnight. I said, I'll get out of here. He said, no, I ain't kidding. He said, it's not as bad as it used to be, but you can't make reservations till April 1st. And they got this one pavilion that they have, they use like for family reunions and stuff. He said, these people already got their dates set. This is when all the family can get off. They come down here at midnight, sit in her car, and said the lady deals with the people in line before she deals with the phone. I said, you got to be kidding, man. Sitting down there all night at the gate at the campground. My family reunion going to be somewhere else if we're going to have to do that, huh? Old Zacchaeus, you know, when Jesus was coming in the week before, he didn't get down there early. Remember? He didn't rise early a great while. He got down there, and the crowd was so big he couldn't get in to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus, but he couldn't get it. But I'm going to tell you what, faith finds a way. He climbed a tree. He said, I'm going to get to see Jesus, but he didn't get down there early. Listen, but these ladies didn't rise early to get the best spot or to be first. They had a grim task ahead of them to anoint a dead body. You know, sometimes we rise up for something that's exciting. I always tell it, you know, at church, I always say this to you guys, you know, I never wake up on a hunting morning and say, man, I was going to go hunting and I forgot all about it. Damien, that never happens. Huh? I was going to go hunting, huh? I mean, I just get up and go, right? Right, Larry? Huh? We just get up. And why do we wake up early? I wake up before. I have the alarm set, but it never rings. Ask my wife. I reach over there, turn it off, jump out of bed like a bright-eyed bushy-tail in there, turn the coffee on. Huh? Excited about that. Going on vacation. If you don't hunt sometime, remember you got a vacation day. You got this week coming up, and Saturday morning's when you're leaving, man. We getting up at 4 in the morning, boy. We heading down to the beach, man. We're going down to Myrtle Beach, man. We're down the road they go, huh? Oh, man. Brian's dad call you at 7 o'clock in the morning. They're already halfway there at a restaurant eating breakfast, man. They done got up with you. Getting on vacation. So excited. Sometimes you get so excited, can't get to sleep. Can't even get to sleep. Thinking about it. When we go elk hunting in Colorado, and listen, I never have any problem falling asleep. Now, it's a combination of sleeping in another place, but I take them Tylenol PMs, and when we get to Kansas City, when we get to Cabela's, I take one because we ain't got 20 more miles. We're going to stop, and I know I ain't going to get to sleep, so I take a Tylenol PM, mellows me out, and then the first night at the hotel, I take one because I can't get to sleep, but after that, it's not a problem. You get to sleep pretty easy after the first night. Got it? Can't get to sleep. But they didn't rise early because they thought something exciting. But the most exciting thing that was ever going to happen in the history of the world was they didn't know that. They didn't know that. Sometimes we rise early because something worrisome. You know, like we may not get to sleep well, or we toss and turn all night, and then we're thinking about what might happen. What could happen? What will happen? And after Jesus was taken down off the cross, they couldn't do anything about it because, like I said, it was the Sabbath. And all day they waited and they mourned and they talked about it among themselves. There was doubts, fears, hopes gone, dreams gone. They thought a loved one, too, just a loved one, a friend, was dead. Something worrisome. And that probably had something to do with why they rose early. And then also sometimes something important. Sometimes there's something coming up that we have to do it. We need to do it. We have to do it. And that'll cause us to rise up early. And they needed to anoint a body. Remember, it had been a whole day. Decomposition. Dealing with a dead body, and they knew this. Listen, we have got to do this just as soon as we can, as early as we can, as soon as the Sabbath is passed. And it didn't matter what the rest of their life looked like. It didn't matter what the other priority of the day was, whether clothes needed mending, a job needed going to, whether they had to make food, whether they had problems in their life. None of those things mattered that particular morning. Nothing mattered. Everything in life went on hold because they needed to get to the sepulcher early, as soon as possible. The priority of the day took precedence. Man, if we could get that kind of, so many things get in the way of serving God and worshiping God and coming to God. And I can say, if you could just get people to see the importance here, and it was important to them to take care of the body of someone they loved who was dead. We know the rest of the story. We know we didn't get up. We didn't rise up early and come down this morning here a great while before day or about the, well, we did rise up a great while before day to anoint a dead body. We came to worship and honor a risen Savior. And I want to say more. Like I say, I got to save some of my ammunition here for preaching in the morning. But, oh man, things was about to change. And then, guess what? They probably couldn't sleep that night for a whole nother reason. They couldn't sleep that night for another reason. Remember those old Emmaus Road disciples? Said they was going to turn in. Jesus talked to them and they said, hey, we're on our way back, but we're going to stop for the night. Why don't you turn in here with us because we're tired? And Jesus talked to them and their eyes opened and it said their hearts burned. And guess what? Man, they went all the way back to Jerusalem, man. They turned around. What happened? I thought you were tired. I thought you was turning in. They wasn't tired anymore. They went on back. They went all the way back. So it was something there. Listen, everything was about to change. And I thought about, you couldn't have gotten any lower than they were. And it was going to turn to an excitement that it couldn't have got any more exciting than what was about to happen in their life. And we know, but I'm going to talk to you about that this morning. It was the beginning of something, and it was also the end. That's the title of the morning message, the beginning and the end. It was the beginning of some things, and it was also the end of some things. And so we have that joy. We have no matter what else is going on in our life, listen, Jesus is resurrected. And that we can have eternal life. Listen, man, that's the most important. There's nothing in your life more important than your soul, your salvation, you know, and Jesus died for this purpose that you could have eternal life. And that you can call on Him. Access to God. Man, the veil was rent. And you have access to God yourself. You don't have to go to a priest and pray. You can talk to God yourself because of what Jesus did on the cross. Ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. You can have eternal life. Now the resurrection means something. And it's from death into life. Again, from death to life for you as well. Boy, knowing that you're saved. What a day. What a day. I'm going to share some stuff a lot more in depth than what I had here this morning. But I just want us to know, boy, we rose up early. We knew the whole story. They didn't. But boy, they never forgot that day. They never forgot that day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, as I said, for what this day means. Lord, what it represents, the resurrection. Lord, what a glorious day that was, giving us hope. And I mean a confident hope, Lord, that we know that we can have eternal life because you resurrected from the grave. We know God was satisfied for the price that you paid for our sin. We know that as well. And so I pray now, Lord, as we go and we have food and fellowship with one another, Lord, that we also have fellowship with you. I thank you for the food that was prepared. Lord, I ask you to bless that food. Lord, and I ask you to bless our service later this morning. Lord, our 11 o'clock service, and to pour your Spirit out on us today. And we can just rejoice and be a blessing to see somebody saved today. Lord, it's my prayer if there's somebody here lost this morning here, Lord, that they'll call on your name and be saved. Lord, that they can, what a day to be saved on, Easter Sunday, Lord. So we pray for that. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, you